Tonight, take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, we are continuing the discussion of Resurrection Day. And this is a familiar passage, and it should give us encouragement. We need to understand that the Lord is risen indeed. We need to live as if He's risen indeed. We need to love as if He is risen indeed. We need to speak as if He is risen indeed. We need to witness as if He has risen indeed. We're looking at Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 34. Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 34. In verse 13, it says, "And behold, two of Christ's disciples, went that same day to a village called Emmaus," now, which is from Jerusalem, about 70 furlongs. In modern English miles, that's about 7 miles. Remember, the Sabbath has passed. They can travel. The Passover is fast. They're now in the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know Him. And He said unto them, "What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" And one of them said, whose name was Cleophas, answered and said unto them, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known of the things which are come to pass there in these days?" And He said unto them, "What things?" And they said unto Him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered Him to be condemned to death and have crucified Him. But we trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel." See, there's the whole thing. God not interested in your physical condition as much as He is in your spiritual condition. They still wanted release from Roman rule. "And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done." Sounds like they're impatient, huh? Aren't we all impatient? Verse 22, "Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, and which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not His body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that He was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but Him they saw not." Remember our passage this morning that we shared in Mark chapter 16, that they didn't believe. Guys, you need to believe your wives. Okay? Someone has good news, you need to check it out. Okay? Then He said unto them, "O fools, and slow to heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory?" You know, sometimes we are listening, but we don't really listen. Christ has told them for months that this is going to happen. Christ has told them. They even agreed when they were going to Lazarus, "Let's go to Jerusalem so we all die." They even heard it, but they didn't process it. That sound familiar? Okay? It says, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself. And they drew nigh into the village whither they went, and He made as though He would have gone further. But they constrained Him, saying, 'Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent.' And He went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as He sat at meat with them, He took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave it to them. And their eyes were open. And they knew Him, and He vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, 'Did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way, and while He opened to us the Scriptures?' And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed.
Amen.
And hath appeared to Simon. See, the most important question ever asked is Christ risen? Is Christ risen? This morning we talked out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14. It says, "And if Christ not be risen, then our preaching is vain and our faith is vain. If he did not rise, our faith is worthless. If he did not rise, there is no hope of heaven." In verse 18 of 1 Corinthians 15, it says this, "Then they also which have fallen asleep in Christ are perished." There is no hope. But now is Christ risen from the dead. In verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 15, it says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." Christ had to do this. We would not have any hope of a resurrection if Christ was not risen. It needs to be a lively hope. One that helps, and one that has opportunity, one that brings peace, and one in which we found eternal life. You know, there is now a growing convinced crowd on this day. You know, words travel fast. And what those women saw in the empty tomb, and when they went and they told the disciples, that word got out. And now people are starting to talk. So much so that we know that the scribes and Pharisees said, "Ooh, we have a problem here. We have a problem here." See, they had doubted his promise, but they now believe. Isn't that like us so much? You know, we just have to learn how to build trust. Christ wants us to trust immediately. He's done everything that we need. And so don't doubt his promises. We talked about that this morning. The women had visited the tomb. John and Peter had been to the tomb and they found it empty. Others had met Jesus along the way. Mary Magdalene had met Jesus and seen that. And all their conclusion, as our conclusion tonight should be, the Lord is risen indeed.
Amen.
The Lord is risen indeed. So very quickly tonight, I want to share three things about this. The words that we heard, that we read here in Luke chapter 24, speak of the Lord. In fact, verse 34 says, "The Lord is risen." Isn't was, isn't will be, it is. And he is active, present tense. He's risen and should be risen in our lives. And be here tomorrow. And as he was here yesterday. You know, since he is risen and they now see it, they know he is the Lord. They know he is the Savior and the Messiah. But remember when he appeared to the 10 in the upper room on that day, Thomas wasn't there. And then they told Thomas, and Thomas didn't what? Believe. See, doubted the promise. Doubted what people say. Some people will doubt your witness. But they can never take away what God has done in your life. These people could never have their witness taken away. What they've experienced on this day could be never taken away. You know, in Romans chapter 8, verse 34, it says, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." They realized that it was the Lord when their eyes were open. Tonight, I want our eyes open. Jesus Christ is Lord of all.
Amen.
He's creator of the universe. He was God incarnate. And he sits on the right hand of the Father as part of the Holy Trinity. You know, the past is past. But remember the past impressions of some of them. Some thought he was a great man. Some thought he was a prophet. Some thought he would deliver them from Romans' rule. And we've seen that right even here. Because they didn't call him the Messiah. They said, "Have you heard Jesus of Nazareth, a prophet mighty in what? In word and in deed? And this is now the time, and he should have delivered us." You know, we need to understand what God will do is what God will do, and it's not what we think he will do. And we need to understand that our impressions of God need to change at times. And so when they saw him face to face, they knew. Yeah, not, but now. I mistyped that. Now they knew that they had underestimated him. You know, how many times do we think that God can't take care of our problems? How many times do we think that God is not who he says he is? That his arm is shortened and it cannot save. Oh, they just underestimated him. Revelation chapter 1 verse 18 says, "I am." Christ is talking to John on the Isle of Patmos. He says, "I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive for what? Evermore. Evermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death." Christ is in control.
Amen.
He's in control. The resurrection, as I said this morning, sets Christ apart from all others. The resurrection sets Christ apart from all others. When Paul was on his missionary journey and he was going down the Peloponnesian Peninsula, which is Greece, he arrives in Athens. And basically he starts talking to the Jews there, and all the Greeks come and they start listening to what he says. And just as he did with the religious council in Jerusalem, he talked about the what? The hope of the resurrection. See, that resurrection gives us a hope of opportunity that we can share. And basically, those that heard were stymied. You know, the world today is stymied that Christ is alive. The Pharisees and the scribes, the religious leaders that had him crucified, stymied when the disciples came and they were doing the exact same thing that Christ did. And they said, "We can't stop this. You can't stop God." And when the Greeks were hearing this in Acts chapter 17, verse 20, it says, "For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean." Folks, we need to understand what Christ's death on the cross means to us and doctrinally. We need to understand what Christ being in the grave means to us and to others doctrinally. We need to understand what the resurrection power of Christ means to us and to be shared to other people. That we can convey that. When we talk about the resurrection, it'll seem strange to people. When Christ was walking with these two down the road and they were talking to him, and Christ is giving them leading questions, they should have realized it. What things? You know, and they basically said, "Aren't you dumb? You just dance, you haven't heard about this?" Here's the one that experienced it, standing right there in front of them, and they didn't recognize it. How many times do we go through life, go through situations, and God's right there, and we don't discern Him? And we don't discern Him. See, these words speak of the Lord. The Lord is risen indeed. Don't underestimate Christ. Don't underestimate Christ. These words speak of life. It says the Lord is what? Risen indeed. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. You know, we tend to spend too much on the negative and not understand the implications of what's going on. What's going on in our lives, what's going on in the world, what's going on in our families. And they were just kind of stuck with that too, because so much of their past had been spoken of death, the betrayal and the beating of Jesus. That word got around to all the disciples. The way of sorrows to the cross. I'm sure that they were seeing Christ being beaten as he drags his cross down the Via Dolorosa. I'm sure that they heard about the agony of the crucifixion. We know that John had an eyewitness account. The women had an eyewitness account of this. And that word got out. And it just seemed to them that there was just one bad thing after another, after another, after another with their faith. The one they trusted in. And folks, that's the world today. Sometimes we kind of, why is this happening, God? Let's not dwell on the past. Let's looking unto that what? Blessed hope. You know, the burial by Joseph and Nicodemus. We're going to talk about Nicodemus Wednesday night in John chapter 3. So much of the past has spoken of death. And you know, in our passage it says that their eyes were holding that they could not see. You know, sometimes the past stymies our eyes so we can't see what's going around us. So we can't see the way forward. We can't hear the words spoken. The words that He's Lord and the words that He is life. He had said to Martha, He says, I am the what? The resurrection and the life. He had raised the dead. And people should have remembered that. But you know something? It's hard. There were a lot of doubts on that first Easter morning. They were in despair. And we see here in our passage that these two were in despair about these things that happened because it didn't happen their way. They didn't think that Christ was going to go to the cross. They couldn't understand the prophecies. The women came to embalm the body. They believed that Christ was going to be there dead in the tomb. What they had done is they had returned redemption into a ritual and not understood what the true truth of Christ was. You know, Peter didn't understand these things. John was trying to figure it out. They didn't know what to think. Have you ever been to that point? We just don't know what to think. That's when we need to get close to God. Because His words speak of life. The Lord is risen indeed. Don't look at the past. Look at the future. And don't have any more doubts. The resurrection changed everything. It changed everything. You know, and it should change our lives. Romans 6 verse 5 talks about the Christian's non-relationship with sin. That we're supposed to be reckoned indeed unto sin. But in verse 5 of Romans 6 it says, for if we've been planted together in the likeness of His, what? Death. You know something? When Christ died on the cross, my sins were on the cross. He killed my old sin nature on the cross and buried it. And buried it. He rose to newness of life. And like so we shall be also in the what? Likeness of His resurrection. It's time to see the words of life. It's time to see the words of the Lord. It's time to understand what resurrection power really is all about. It is the power to change things. First of all, it's the power to change you. And it is the power to change your situation. It is the power to change your family. It's the power to change our church. It's the power to change our country. It's the power to prove that what God has said is absolutely 100% true. The uniqueness of the gospel is that it brings life. The uniqueness of the gospel is that it brings life. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, it says, But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I love this next phrase. Who hath abolished death? Who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the what? Gospel. Oh, folks. Are we dull of hearing? Are we blind in seeing? Are we not hearing the message? How is our walk with Jesus? Are we walking looking at Him? Or are we walking looking our way and He's just kind of there? That's the issue. These words speak of the Lord. These words speak of life. And lastly, these words speak of love. These words speak of love. And hath appeared unto Simon. Simon Peter. Now think about this. This morning when we had our passage in Mark, what were the women supposed to do? Go tell the disciples and Peter. Christ wanted, and make no mistake, He wanted Peter to know. Make no mistake, He wants you to know tonight. He wants you listening on the internet tonight to know. And He said, appear to Simon. Jesus appeared to the man who hath denied Him. Think about that. Think of the coward Simon Peter. Think of the cursing Simon. I'll never do that. I'll never do that. Let me bring this into perspective. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 73 through 74, see, you can't help being recognized for who you are. And Peter was a Galilean. They saw him with Jesus. They knew who he was. Now we know the prophecy and that Peter was going to deny Christ three times. But the issue is, they knew. And folks, this morning, if you were out there in Sunrise, boy, those roosters were crowing. They were really crowing badly. And it made me think, you know, is that how much we deny Christ? You know, it's really sad. But in Matthew 26, verses 73 and 74, it says, and after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth or betrays you. Okay? Betrays thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. I want to really ask tonight, why do you have a relationship with Christ? Is it for expediency? Is it for to get something from God more than the commitment that He wants from us? Is it for something to make us powerful and give us position like these two were looking for on the road? See, we need to understand that we deny Christ every day. We need to really understand that. When we have an obvious opportunity, we pass it up. We put something in place of reading God's Word. When we feel the urge to pray and we don't pray. When we see all these things and we don't do it. We're saying, it's good enough for salvation, but it's not good enough to follow. And so we really need to understand this. Go tell Peter. Right. God loved Peter. Christ loved everyone, but he loved Peter. He loved him. Even when Peter, "I'll never have, get behind me, Satan. You don't know what you're saying." Okay? The resurrection declares God's love for sinners. John writes in 1 John chapter 4, talks about hearing his love. Not that we first loved him, but that he first loved us. Not we loved him, but he had first loved us and gave himself to be a propitiation or payment for our sins. And then we ought to love the brethren. But God commanded his love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The resurrection offers forgiveness to the strain. And we all have that problem at times where we should do something and we don't do it, or we're not following God the way we have. See, these words speak of love. Everything that God has done is out of love. Creation is out of love. Our families are out of love. The Word of God is out of love. Everything is out of love for Him. It's part of God's plan. It's part of God's plan. I'll close with this passage out of John. John chapter 10. In verses 14 through 18, he says, "I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine." He says, "As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." He was speaking of the Jews and the Gentiles together. For God so what? Loved the world. "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again." God the Father's love for Christ caused Christ to lay down his life for us out of love, and to pick it up again out of love. "No man taketh from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." We need to understand that the Lord has risen indeed. Amen. And that makes Him Lord. That gives us life. That shows God's love. The living Christ loves you. He did all this for us. The cross proves His love. And the resurrection guarantees Christ's power to save. Do you know Him as your Savior tonight? If you don't, I got great news. You have an opportunity tonight to receive the gift of eternal life. You just need to realize that you're a sinner. You need to realize that you can't get to heaven on your own. You need to realize and confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He died on the cross for your sins. You need to believe in your heart that He was buried and He raised from the dead. And then you need to call upon Him. Call on Him for forgiveness of sins. Call on Him for the gift of eternal life. Because the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Shall be saved. Don't hold back any longer. We need the power of God in our lives. You can only have the power of God in your life if you know Him as your Savior. And then if you're walking with Him, which means you're seeing Him and you're hearing Him and you're letting Him guide you. Let's walk in that resurrection power. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask to be with this time of invitation. Father, just change our lives. And Father, help us to follow you with all of our heart. Lord, we thank you for this day. But Lord, we thank you for every day. This is the day that you have made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Lord, help us, Lord, to follow you with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind. And make you Lord of our life. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.